All right, we are going to continue our discussion today of the decision-making process. Did everybody get the new bookmarks that's got the right radio station call sign? I want to put up the decision-making process and tell you that when I was doing the Zoom service last Sunday in beautiful Gilbert, Arizona, where it was 78 or 79 degrees with no wind, and knowing that my daughter and all of her friends are up there doing God only knows what, Teresa installed a thing called Ring, and somebody left the house yesterday at 5:30 in the morning, and I just know they were on their way to work.
Girl.
Yeah, it was a girl. If it had been a boy, I wouldn't have known. Don't you just love children? So anyway, when I was teaching this last week at Gilbert, the Lord instantly let me know the direction he wants me to go with this and how we're going to go with this for several Sundays. And it's going to be a big part of our Wednesday night Bible study. So it's the decision-making process, and it goes like this. It goes, the quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions we make. In the natural world, nobody argues with this. The only people that have trouble with this are ignorant, and ignorant's not a bad word, are ignorant Christians. And we're going to help you today. If you're ignorant today, we're going to help you. You may not like us, but we're going to help you. So, how do I make that decision? Well, I make that decision from the quality of our decisions is directly related to our belief system. Easiest example I can use that everybody can relate to is most of us are going to work tomorrow, most of us. And the reason why we're going to work tomorrow is we believe that if we don't go to work tomorrow, we won't be able to pay our mortgage. Now, some people believe that the government will give them the money they need, and sooner or later that belief system's going to crumble. And it's not scriptural to believe that way anyway. God says if a man does not work, God in his word says, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. Don't shout me down now. You can see that I decide something based on what I believe. You decided that coming to church today must be worthwhile, and that's why you came here. Or some of your family members drug you here. So you're operating on their belief system and on their information. Shane, can I get an amen? I won't pick on anybody else because I got to tell you, folks, I've got a lot to say today. And Jerry, today may be the day that I go to jail. How do I form a belief system? How do I form a belief system? Well, from information. My mom and dad told me, son, if you want new school clothes, when school year starts, you got to get a job and mow grass. Jordy, if he wants new school clothes before school starts, he just asked me for money. Who's got the better belief system? But my mom and dad said, son, I'm not going to buy you anything new for school. If you want it, you got to go mow the grass and buy your own clothes. And so every school year at St. Augustine School, I would always start out with last year's specials because they'd put them on sale, and I'd think, man, I'm getting a deal. And the rich kid would always walk by me and say, yeah, I had those shoes last year. I wish you could see me now. I got shoes that are in style. Amen. So I get my I make a decision from my belief system, from the information I've received, and I got my information from my dad, from my mom, that told me if you don't work, you won't eat. That told me that it's not going to last forever, just being able to live here free. That's the information they gave me. Now, do I like them? No. But did it help me? Did it make me a responsible person? You know why the United States of America, you know why the system has fallen apart? Because we have no foundation of truth. We have no foundational information being imparted to our next generation. They think it's owed to them. They think it's all owed to them. They think that brand new iPhone is owed to them. They don't know that thing costs $940, and because you go through AT&T, it only looks like it costs you $20 a month. They don't tell you you pay $20 a month for the rest of your life. Mr. Leon, I'm ready to go this morning. I'm going slow because I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to let it go when I let it go. So I get my information. Well, I get my information from people. People. So I was teaching this last week, and I read this verse right here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. If you've never highlighted it, get you a highlighter. We used to have a softball team here at Life in Christ Church called the Highlighters. Boy, we were quite possibly the worst softball team in the history of softball. Yeah, we weren't too good, but we had a lot of team spirit. This was before Bryant was a member. Bryant came aboard later on, and he could hit the ball far. I was going to say something else. But all right, I was reading this verse. For this reason, I will not be negligent. Everybody used to say that word negligent. You know, people go to jail for negligence. Did you know our government, the people that are in charge of our government right now ought to be put in jail for negligence? We got buffoons running our country. We got people in places of leadership who are not there because they're qualified. They're there because they're part of an old boy network. Pete Buttigieg has about as much sense running the supply system of the United States as I do going to Mars. But they owed him a political favor, and that's why they gave him the position. Kamala Harris has about as much business being vice president as I do going to Venus. But she got that position because she was black and a woman, and she's clueless. Joe Biden is president of the United States because they put him in a room and said, Bernie Sanders can't beat Donald Trump, but we'll keep you in a basement. You just keep your mouth shut and we'll get you elected. And look what you got. Buffoonery. And somebody said, you're not supposed to talk like this in church. At this church you are. And that's why nobody likes us. And if it wasn't wrong to cuss, I'd cuss right now. I don't give a... And people say, oh, it's just because you're a Republican. No, I'm a conservative. Half those Republicans are mealy-mouthed morons. George Bush and all that Bush clan, they're all part of the system. Mitch McConnell's part of the system. Lindsey Graham is part of the system. We need to raise up Christian men. Men like that guy in Virginia that's a born-again Christian. That God told him to run for governor. I told you it wasn't going to go, it wasn't going to be good. I have to do it. Who's going to do it if we don't do it? And we don't have, God bless us and God bless the great God of the universe that bestowed on us the blessing to be able to say what we have to say. And give us the financial resources to say it. For this reason, I will not be... And folks, this thing's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. We got people that don't know what they're doing, doing what they're doing. And they're going to keep doing what they're doing, and they don't know what they're doing. And they do not ever tell the truth. Nothing they tell you is the truth. The person they're nominating for the Supreme Court position is not qualified for the job. But they're lying to you and telling you that she is. Because they have to appease a certain segment of their political party. It ought to be based on, are you qualified? The reason why they couldn't stand Donald Trump is because he wasn't a politician. You know why people can't stand me in the Christian world? Because I'm not a religious Pharisee. I'm a Pharisee. I'm just not a religious Pharisee. The Lord, thank you. He said, you might want to tell him you're a Pharisee, just not a religious Pharisee. Amen. So anyway, I was reading this verse to y'all last Sunday, and I knew what direction the Lord wanted me to go with it. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the, say these two words, in the
present truth.
I've said this to you. Some of y'all have heard this before, but you need to keep hearing it. Anybody that has any comprehension of English knows that present truth means that's the now. That's the moment you're in. That's what you live in. You're here in the present. Yesterday was yesterday. Tomorrow is gone. What's that country song? What was the song? Yesterday's gone. My girlfriend left me. And all I got left is my dog and my pickup truck. And I'm seriously considering getting drunk. But I went past the church steeple and I remembered the preacher. And I'm not going to actually watch that movie, Jack Reacher. And I better stop right now. How'd that fit in? Present truth means there must be past truth and there must be future truth. Guess what truth we're living in right now? Who said it? The Apostle Peter, who was one of the foundational persons who imparted the informational present truth that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be living by. That's why you got to listen to these sermons more than once, because you got to get past some of this other stuff to just get to the nuts of what it is we're talking about. So when he said this, or when I read this verse, I knew exactly what God wanted me to do. He wanted me to take us on an adventure through the epistles. And so today's sermon is titled, I didn't have enough time to come up with some music. Today's sermon is titled, Have You Been Epistle-Lighted? It's a personal question. Some of you are going to say, none of your business. Most of you are going to say, what is it? I don't understand it. I know a lot of you on the radio are thinking, what is epistle-lighted mean? Well, I'm going to tell that to you because I'm going to tell you that it's the number one reason why the church has no power. It's the number one reason why we are doctrinally illiterate and incorrect is because we have not been epistle-lighted, because we have not learned the foundational truths found in the epistles that are the present truth that the Christian should know and live by. The Life in Christ Archives of Teachings. So back in the past, we came up with this little truth right here. It's kind of a catchy little truth. In the epistles, when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. Say that with me, everybody. It's kind of a catchy little phrase. It's better than that country song I just sang. Ready? In the epistles, when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. Now, we're going to do something, and I haven't even gotten started, but we're going to go through a little exercise that I take everybody through on a periodic basis. If you brought your Holy Bible this morning, get your hands on it. And if you didn't, watch what we're going to do. How many of you did bring your Bible? I know most of you are operating on those $940 iPhones. But some of you did. Miss Gloria has hers. Who else has theirs? I've got mine. Now, at the Wednesday night Bible study, where people get extra credit from me for coming, you know, because I know how busy we all are, and nobody right now is any busier than me. I can barely get golf in on the weekend. We decided in our Wednesday night Bible study that I'm going to first show you that if you open your Bible to the book of Romans, I know, hang on, Coco, you're doing the same, but that means you were paying attention on Wednesday night, and yes, that $30 I gave you did come in handy for you.
I am not opposed to paying people to come to church. Romans and it over to Jude. That's the epistles. Look at this right here. Look. And Mr. James Taylor, my dear friend, bought me this wonderful Bible that I love so much. I got two of them. I have one for church and one for home. Look at that right there. These are the epistles from the Holy Bible. And everything in it is present truth. And everything in it is relative and applies to a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, it don't mean a thing in the world to you. So here's my dilemma, or here's my conundrum. I make Christians mad because I have to tell them the truth, and then I make Gentiles mad because everybody in the world is either a Gentile or a Christian. Right now, I know there's Jews, and I know they have certain truths and certain things that are going to come to pass, but from a biblical perspective, you're either in Christ or out of Christ. You're either in or out. You're either saved or unsaved. The great apostle Paul said, it's not whether you're male or female, Jew or Gentile. It's whether are you in Christ. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. You become a new creation when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you get a new nature. And you're no longer under the control of the rotten, stinking, miserable, lying, murdering devil. And all that's in here. And while you're watching our favorite show, Yellowstone, and As the World Turns, and Young and the Restless, what do you watch all the time? Hot Rod. Oh, Mr. Sanctification doesn't watch anything. He watches the British show, Downton Abbey, or Murder Mysteries, CSI New York, CSI Denver, CSI Las Vegas, CSI San Francisco, Law and Order Memphis, Law and Order Texas, Law and Order Sierra Vista. If you could just pull yourself away long enough to read this little itsy bitty part of the Bible, it'll revolutionize your life. It'll change your whole attitude about God, and you won't be a part of that silly, stupid doctrine that I saw last night on a Facebook post that somebody was kind enough to send me that told me that don't worry about this Russian invasion into Ukraine. It's all part of some cosmic plan that God has. And God is in control. And some clear thinking sinner man rebuked that lying dud. And told her, wait a minute, my dear stupid woman. If that's true, then you're telling me that God wanted 6 million Jews slaughtered in the Holocaust. You're telling me that God wanted 3,000 of our finest Americans killed on 9/11 by the rotten, stinking devil. Awake to righteousness. Read your contract. And if you don't read it, shut up. And quit putting out that putrid theology that's ruining the world. And if you're a minister of the gospel and you just by chance happened to tune in because you thought you were going to listen to some Waylon Jennings before you got to church and you're listening to me, if you don't know what I'm talking about and you're telling this stuff to people, quit your job and get in these epistles and find out the truth. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. What is that word, Paul? That God was in Christ. Oh, God's been somewhere. I know it don't look like it because he's not a man. He's not flesh. He's spirit. But he was a man for 33 and a half years. And he was somewhere. And that somewhere was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. I don't want anybody to like me anymore. It's a bad sign if they like you. You're not telling the truth. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know who got mad at him? You know who would get mad at me? Religious people. Because you're taking their specialness away from them. Because you've always got to be better than somebody. No. I said all that to tell you that the problem I have is I got to tell the unbeliever these epistles won't work for you because you got to get in Christ first. And if you're not in Christ, you're a rank sinner. Come on to church, we love you. You're just a rank sinner. You have the wrong nature. Your God is yourself. That's who you live for. And if you're not living for yourself, you're living for somebody else that's not God. And the only way to get out from under that trap, our young people, Lord have mercy. Our young people, and I know everybody probably said it about us, but I'm telling you, man, life is going to be so disappointing if you think it's going to be about you. It's going to be so disappointing. Because that rotten, stinking devil's here, boys. And the only way you can whip him is through the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? So anyway, this guy countered her and said, you know, that's why I don't serve God. That's why I'm not interested in your God. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Most people go by church and speed up. Like, man, I don't want to go in there. Life's tough enough without adding God to the mix. Because they don't know this. They don't know this. Now, it doesn't mean it's a panacea and you just sit around and eat grapes and somebody, you know, you've seen that commercial where the guy's carrying the queen or the prince in the chariot and he's got her on her shoulder. And that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about understanding who the real enemy is. And that this kingdom, God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom, do not mix. And the way we get people out of his kingdom is through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're to live in this world, not of it, not we're in it, but not of it. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Oh, can you understand that that's true? A crooked and perverse, I mean, with lying lips, there's no truth, there's no truth. The book of Romans says there's no truth in their lips, nothing. There's no truth. It's all a lie. It's all fake. It's all false. It's all to get you to believe something that'll benefit them. If you run out of money, they'll send you more money because it's not their money. Because they got money. They got pensions they're going to live on it, $400,000 and $500,000 a year for the rest of their life for being crooks. We got a man that's president of the United States that's never accomplished anything except to get elected to do nothing and to steal and cheat his way to the top. And if we had a Christian fair media, it would all be brought to light. But it'll never be brought to light because the people they hate are the truth tellers. That's why they hate Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Because he tells them that guy's an idiot. He's sleeping at the wheel. And that's why ministers and church people hate me, because I'm telling you, if you're telling people things that aren't in the epistles, you're asleep at the wheel. And that's okay. We can handle it. Let me just tell you this. We did decide, Miss Coco, we did decide on Wednesday to go ahead and get to the book of Acts. Let me give you a little Bible lesson here. Go ahead and add the book of Acts to your, and then I got to say one other thing real quick. Add the book of Acts to the pages, and it didn't add that much, did it? You can still get CSI Miami in later. You'll be all right. You got a DVR. Amen? You got a DVR or TiVo or TiVo or something. But we decided to add Acts to it because Acts is the beginning of the church. And Acts is when you learn the transformation away from the Jewish law into the life that's found in Christ Jesus that's available to both Jew and Gentile. See? So you need to add the book of Acts. And then, just to make sure everybody understands me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John you can read anytime because it's about the greatest life ever lived. But if you only read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will not gain an understanding of why Jesus did what he did. And real quick, I'll show you. John 16 wasn't in the lineup, Jordan, but the Holy Spirit just spoke it to me. I'll show you why that is. John 16, verse 12. See, you want to read the four Gospels as much as you want. You want to spend most of your, if it's 30 minutes, I can't stand the thought of that. We got to buy more radio time. I got to teach for an hour, and then I got to figure out some way for people to call in and ask me, have I lost my mind? And I have to explain to them, no, I haven't lost my mind. The Christian church has. I'm one of the few sane people left. You know why? You know why I am? Because I've been epistolated. You know the people that have the right information, the ones that really give you the information that will set you free, are the people that have got in the book and read the epistles and made them their own and understood it was God speaking to me. God speaking to me. And I'm gonna close this up with some real balanced, fundamental stuff, but it won't matter to most people because most people don't want to hear anything about balance and fundamental stuff. They want all that ooey-gooey hocus-pocus. That it's never up to me. God is over in Ukraine. Woo! No, the devil's in Ukraine. The only way God's going to get over there is we get over there. Because he's working through the church. How did I know that? I read the epistles. How do I know what I know? I read the epistles. How do I keep knowing what I know? I keep reading the epistles. Why is everything else so peculiar to me? Because they don't read the epistles. Go to a church service, and the first thing the guy says is, oh, God, please be with us in our church service. Why don't you just go home? Sell vacuum cleaners. Encyclopedia Britannicas. What do you mean, please be with us in our church service? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? How do I know that? I read the epistles. It's pathetic. And that guy, that's why that guy said, I don't want nothing to do with your deity. The problem is, if I had to talk to him, I'd have to say a couple things to him. Well, you're a rank sinner, get saved, and then God loves you. He's not doing this stuff. The rotten devil is, the world is, the flesh is. So why can't you get this truth if you just read the Gospels? Because Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. This is at the Last Supper, the greatest supper that ever was. Amen. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he came on the day of Pentecost. He filled them 120 people with the Holy Spirit of God, and then they went and filled multitudes upon multitudes of people with the Holy Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. I'm telling you that the book of Acts, all the way to the end of Jude, is the truth that Jesus didn't impart when he was on the earth. Because he couldn't impart it to them because they wouldn't have understood it because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why an unsaved person, and you try to tell them all these things in the epistles, you're wasting your time. You got to tell them about Jesus first. They have to receive him. And then when they receive him, they got to get in that book and find this stuff out for themselves. And they got to get around people like me that will encourage you and inspire you and entertain you a little bit. It's the truth. It's the truth. Amen. It's what I'm here to do. And upset you every now and then. Amen. Remind you. Praise God. This life is fleeting. It's temporary. It's not going to last forever. I find that out every day. I'm going to be 63 in June. Dang, I look good. But I remember in my lifetime, if somebody told me they were 63, Jerry, I would have said, my Lord, you're about ready to go to the other side. And now I'm thinking I'm not near ready to go to the other side. Oh, we're so, the church, I'll tell you the number one thing we got, I'm talking about our group, I'm talking about people that have been epistolated. You know what our number one problem is? We're way too connected to the world. Me, I am. I look at that phone. I think I said it to you last week. They said the average person looks at their iPhone 100 times a day. Can you imagine if you just look at this two or three times a day? And when I say this, I mean the epistles. I don't mean going back over there in Leviticus and find out whether or not you need a pork chop. My gosh, go buy one, get it on the grill, and put some barbecue on it and eat that bad boy. You know how I know that? The epistles tell me that all the food you eat is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, that there's no food forbidden by God. You know what one of the characteristics of a false doctrine is when you forbid people to marry and you forbid them to eat certain foods. How do I know that? It's in the epistles. No, I'll tell you what I was doing. I was sitting in my room one day, and it just all came to me it filtered in by vapor. Yeah. You know, I was smoking a vapor, and it filtered in by vapor. My brother used to smoke marijuana and read the book of Revelation. I knew there's a reason why he's nuts. Had that old kinky hair, you know. And he'd say, man, Mark, I'm reading Revelation 7, man. He said, bring me some potato chips, so I'm starting to get hungry. I can't judge him. I never did like marijuana, but I'd drink a beer with him while he was reading. Not anymore. Not anymore. Just ever so often on the golf course. All right. Y'all see that? Y'all see that? You see where I'm going? You see where we're going with this? So let's go through this thing real quick. Golly, Molly, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. Look at y'all. Y'all are here. You're back. And I think most of you will be back next week. Look, let's go through this. Let's go through this epistle-like thing. Let's do it again real quick, Jordan. There's another slide I want to get to, but go to the top of it first. Go to the top of it first. Have you been epistolated? Have you been epistolated? Had epistolated? Had epistolated? Have you? Have you been epistolated? Next slide. Listen to this. Listen. In the epistles. And the book of Acts. In the epistles, when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to me. If I'm a Christian. If I'm not a Christian, what do I got to do? Become a Christian. And you don't pray somebody into heaven. That's the other thing on these things you'll see. All this stuff about pray, pray, pray. That hadn't worked for 2,000 years. Not that kind of prayer. You need to pray for boldness to go to Ukraine and do what's necessary. See, oh, no, somebody, oh, God, no, can't do that. CSI New Orleans is on. Can't do that. That's on Thursday. Busy as I can be. They got a special at Target. Here's the next thing you need to know. Got it? Everybody got that? Everybody got that? We're just laying the groundwork. Everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Say it again. I mean, that's life altering. That's why so many people have left us. Because we're challenging you to change your thought process. We're challenging you to change your belief system. We're challenging you to do it. I've had people tell me they go with a certain deal because there's more of them. Crowds don't make it right. There was a multitude that was hollering, "Crucify Jesus." That didn't make it right. I would propose to you that if tribulation and persecution is not following what you're teaching, you're not teaching the epistles. Paul could have went to all those towns and told them about the Jewish law and told them everything's cool.
And they wouldn't have bothered him for a minute. But he went into those towns and told them, that's all done and with. That's over. That's over. That's over. Doesn't make a bit of difference in the world about the Jewish law relative to salvation. It makes a difference. Have you received Jesus? And the truth is in Jesus. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. Let's say it out loud, everybody. Boy, I mean, say it out loud. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. I'm going to make some people right now. This is going to be it. This is it. Some of you were hanging on in the fringes by radio and internet. This is going to be it. I'm going to tell you that until you get those epistles deeply in your heart, you don't have any business in any other place in the Bible. Now, that's provided, one caveat on that, that's provided you've read enough of the story of Jesus to know about him. Because you got to know what they're talking about. I mean, somebody could tell you about me, but you got to get some kind of familiarity with who they're talking about. You mean that fella down there at the CPA office? That's who's telling you these things? Yeah, that's him. You listening to me? So once you gain an understanding of who Jesus is, and that, in my opinion, the first gospel you should read would be the Gospel of John. That would be the first one I would read because it's an affirmation that God was manifested in the flesh. It's an affirmation that Jesus tells you that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's an affirmation that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that comes to me will never die, and he that lives will never die. That means die spiritually. You with me? And then after you gain an understanding of that, your primary purpose and the primary thing you should spend your Bible study in is the book of Acts all the way to Jude. And get you a highlighter and everywhere where it says you, us, or we, make it your own. Make it your own. Make it your own. 1979, Mark Browning from Lebanon, Kentucky, probably the least person you'd ever expect to be doing what I was doing. I was in a room somewhere reading these epistles, divinely inspired by God to read them, understanding by God's Spirit that these were what I needed to read, because these were written to me because I had received Jesus and I was officially a crazymatic. And so when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you have to start looking at it like this. You have to. We're laying the foundation. You have to start looking at it like this. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and some weird name fella, our brother, Sothenesis, Sosalanissa, somebody, anybody. Verse 2, everybody cool? Paul wrote the letter, Paul wrote together, to the church of God, which is, listen, this is what has to happen to you. This is what has to happen to you. And I'm serious about this. I'm teaching you this because I'm serious about this. To the church of God, which is at Sierra Vista, on 2300 Las Brisas Way. See, it has to get personal. It has to get real. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Is that you? Have you been sanctified in Christ Jesus? Did you do it because you went to Mass every day? Did you do it because you received Holy Communion? Did you do it because you've been baptized in water? Did you do it because you received Jesus? Do you understand that everything you get from God's a gift? It comes by grace. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Do you know you're a saint? Do you know I'm a saint? Called to be saints, with all who in every place
call on the name of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and I. So here's the deal. That has to be, that letter, you have to see it in your mind's eye and in your heart as being addressed to you. And then everywhere you see we, us, or you see you, us, or we, you know it's talking to me. And then you don't have to, and if you learn this, it'll eliminate so much doctrinal error and doctrinal mistakes that we make, because you'll understand exactly what God wants you to do, because he tells it to you in the epistles. Here's what he does. Here's what the epistles do. They never, ever tell you what you do until they tell you what God did. See, I keep coming back to this by the Spirit of God. That's the reason why you can't tell a saint or a sinner, you can't tell a sinner to behave or to fly right until you get him to be a saint. Because when he becomes a saint, then he has the capacity in his heart and in his spirit to do the right thing. Because sooner or later, apart from Jesus, and by the way, even in Jesus, you're going to find this to be true, because the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. But apart from Jesus, sooner or later, the flesh is going to get you. See, the songwriter said, sooner or later, love will get you. But they should have sung, sooner or later, the flesh will get you. And so you have to understand that when you receive the Lord Jesus, God tells you what he did for you. And after he tells you what he did for you, he tells you what he expects you to do. So I'm not going to get as far as I wanted to. So let me show you what I'm talking about. So go through the, well, wait a minute. Go to Ephesians 3, 4, and 5, and let me get over there, and then I'm going to take you through the decision-making process, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Are you fired up about reading Becoming Epistle-Lighted? Is it too much information for you? How many of you remember when we went through the book of Luke? Huh? Maybe what I'll do on Facebook and whatever is we'll pick up the book of Acts and I'll just remind everybody that we're going through the epistles, and we're gonna get you acclimated to the truths in the epistles so that you can be set free from lying, stinking theology. Can I get an amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Actually, let's pick it up in verse 17. Let's read this. Let's do it real quick, and then I'm going to take you through the diagram. Ready? Let's start at Ephesians 2:17. Now, is Ephesians in the epistles? Is it written to Christians? If it says you, us, or we, is it talking to me? And he came, Jesus, see, and see, you didn't know what he came for just by reading the four Gospels. And he came and preached peace to you, me, who were afar off. In other words, I wasn't a Jew. I wasn't in a covenant with God. I was a Gentile. I was a rank sinner. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Verse 18. For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access. See how it revolutionizes your Bible study? This is God personally talking to you, man. That's what hit me as a 20-year-old boy in Lebanon, Kentucky. It hit me that God was teaching me this and telling me this stuff. This was God talking to me. And I didn't have to call some theologian and ask him, was it God talking to me? I knew it was God talking to me, because I knew it was addressed to those who are in Christ. And I was in Christ. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We have access to the Spirit by the Father. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Verse 20. I wanted to get to there, but watch this. Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation, listen to this, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, say that with me, apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Okay? Ephesians 3:4. By which
When you, everybody say these three words. By which?
When you read.
Oh, wait a minute now. Oh, gosh. Wait a minute, I got to read it? You mean you're not going to do it for me? You mean I got to read it? By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, watch this. Which in other ages, past truth, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Okay, folks, here we go. You listen to me? Acts. Luke wrote it. The epistles, Romans to Hebrews. I'm going to give Paul credit for the book of Hebrews. There's some theological debate about that, but God told Kenneth Hagin that Paul wrote Hebrews, and I trust what God would tell him. So Luke, Acts, Paul, Romans through Jude. What's the next one? James? James, the half-brother of the Lord. Did y'all hear that? All my Catholic friends, the half-brother of the Lord, Mary's son. Mary's natural son that came the natural way through the natural man. She's a natural woman. You make me feel like... Got it? Peter, 1st, 2nd Peter. Peter the apostle with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay? John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, the beloved apostle. The one that... apparently was Jesus' favorite, if he had favorites. I think John made him be his favorite. He just hung on his breast and said, "Hey, man, I'm wherever you go, I'm going." And then Jude, another one of Mary's boys. So Joseph was busy. Can I get an amen? Put the decision-making process diagram up. Quality of the information we receive is directly related to the quality of the people we associate with. Is Luke, Paul, James, Peter, John, and Jude, is that quality folk? Yes. Is what they're telling you quality information? Yes. You follow what I'm doing here? Y'all said, "Man, I don't know if he's doing the decision-making process." Yes, I am. Do they have quality information? Yes. With that information, will I have a quality belief system? Will I find out that God's not out to get me? Will I find out that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed? Will I find out that God wants me to work? Come on. Will I find out that God wants me to be a good husband? Will I find out that God wants me to be a good wife? Will I find out that God wants me to be a good child? But you're not going to qualify for a child much longer. When you get to be 6'4", we say sir to you. Will I find out that God wants me to work hard on my job? Yes. Will I find out that God wants me to pay my taxes? Yes. Now, why would people get mad for us teaching this to people? You know why? Because it's not religion. It's reality. And you know what else? Ultimately, it comes down to whether or not I'm going to decide to do what it says. And if I don't, I have to pay a price for it. But thank God his mercy endures forever. Amen. And thank God that I can't tell you how many times I've fallen off the horse and got back up. I can't tell you. But he always lets me get back on the horse and keep on riding. Can you say amen? You see where I'm going with this? If you become an epistle-like Christian, you will be better in your church, you'll be better in your community, and you'll be better in your home. And if that makes people mad, then just get mad. I'll tell you something else, too, because we're going to close. We started with this. We'll close with this. It'll also make you vote correctly. Because you'll be able to start smelling a rotten lie when you see it.
when you know it don't line up with the holy word of God. And you don't pay any attention to people that give lip service to God, but their actions deny him. Oh, this country, you know what this country desperately needs? We need somebody that could rise up and unify people apart from party lines and apart from partisan politics. We just desperately, and we may never get it. We may never get it because evil has been entrenched in Washington, D.C. for years. And they'll figure some way to stay in the swamp. And stupid people will keep voting for Nancy Pelosi. Sorry to have to tell you that, but that's a true story. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet. I'm telling you, this has been a, I don't know if you got anything out of it, but I sure am glad I came to teach it. Amen. I am glad I came to teach it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have you been epistolated?
Yes.
Donnie has. Let's see if everybody else has. Have you been epistolated?
Yes.
Will you do me this much? Will you do me this much? Will you make it your aim? Will you make it your purpose in life to get acclimated to those epistles? Will you quit worrying about getting the Bible read in a whole year? Quit worrying about that. Don't get bogged down in that. Get over there and find out what God says to you as a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. And then that's where you pray and say, Lord, now help me. Help me, Lord. Help me be an epistle-lighted Christian on T number 16. Help me be an epistle-lighted Christian in my office in the middle of March. Help me be an epistle-lighted Christian when I have to watch an SEC referee steal a game from Kentucky yesterday. Help me, Lord. See what I'm saying to you? But more than anything, find out in those epistles what God did for you, and then through his grace, let's start demonstrating it to the rotten, stinking, perverse world. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise because we were helplessly and hopelessly lost. All we like sheep have gone astray, but you have laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Ooh. Oh, man. Don't live another moment of your life without gaining access to God through Jesus. Reach out to him right now and say this with me. Say,
dear God,
I want to know Jesus.
I want to receive Jesus
so I can have a new nature and I can live the Christian life
knowing
that what I'm doing
is pleasing you
in Jesus' holy name. If you prayed that, the Holy Spirit came and made you a new creature. Now, those of you that are listening by radio and internet, you're going to have to get your hands on a Bible somewhere, some way. And you're going to get to the book of Acts, and you're going to get there, and you're going to read from Acts to Jude, and you're going to keep reading, you're going to keep marking, you're going to keep highlighting, and you're going to understand that when it says you, us, or we, it's talking to you. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit's going to be there to reveal that stuff to you and transform your life. Amen. And no matter what's going on in the rotten, corrupt world, you'll have a smile on your face and you'll have a hop in your step because you know the God in you is greater than the devil that's in the world. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.